This is a recording of Dr. Tom Rozelle for Sunday, April 17th, 2016. You can listen to this program live every Sunday afternoon from 12 to 1 p.m. right here on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed on this program are not the views of 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now. On 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle, live in studio, waiting to take your phone calls on any aspect of integrative and natural therapeutics and health that we can do, particularly wellness. How do you keep it that way? Call me, 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you. Love to take your calls and figure out what's going on with you. You know, it's a beautiful day today, right? It's gorgeous. It's sun shining. It's perfect. Yesterday, today, we got some more coming down the pike. Finally. But here's the deal. You know, you feel better today, don't you? You feel good, not quite as run down, not quite as tired. And there's a reason for that. Some of you are still dragging. Some of you are suffering the slings and arrows of all the junk that's out there, your junk, you know, because it irritates your immune system. But we're going to talk about something that is really important, one that billions of dollars have been made of from pharmacopeia, I mean the big drug companies. But there's solutions. If you really understand the matrix, what are we talking about? We're talking about fatigue patterns. Chronic fatigue, I'm tired, I don't feel good, you know, I don't have the motivation to do whatever. But it's an important differentiating situation. It's one that we have to understand intimately to be able to help. You shouldn't be tired unless you're ignoring certain things. And to help me talk about that and to really weed ourselves through the forest, so to speak, is none other than Dr. Scott Lamp. Hey, Scotty.
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. It is a beautiful day.
Awesome. I know I'm going to soak up some of that vitamin D.
You're going to a ball game afterwards, man. You're going to go watch your kid play baseball.
Hey, I'm trying to do a lead into my talk. Vitamin D is important here.
It is. It is. I had to segue you a little bit here. No, seriously, this Wednesday evening, the 20th, you're going to present a whole program on fatigue and chronic fatigue patterns. But more importantly, where they come from and what people can do about it. It'll be 7 p.m. at the Rozelle Center for Healing. Let's talk a little bit about that. Let's jump into it from a place of simply definitions. You know, people say, I don't feel good. I'm tired. Now, we have the emotional piece of I don't feel good. Mm-hmm. You know, that's called depression.
Right.
And we have the physical I don't feel good.
Like exhaustion.
Exhaustion and beat up and overexertion. And we can go on and list 10,000 things.
Right.
Differentiate it for me for a little bit.
Well, I think one of the things is there's a couple different avenues or pathways you go down to. One, am I getting a supply of the nutrients that I need to get to my body? And you got to think about like things like oxygen. Can I get oxygen to my tissues? Can I get the sugar or the food that I'm eating getting into my tissues? And then from that, am I getting proper communication? Proper communication means, is there things being blocked? Inflammation can block things from communicating. Is something being interrupted or something being irritated? So we got to look at all those pathways, and there's so many different pathways that play a part in this. Again, we want to make sure that we're getting oxygen to the tissue. I think the very first thing is are people anemic? Because if I can't get oxygen, I can't metabolize things very well. And the other aspect is also the inflammatory element. Is the inflammatory breaking or blocking pathways so that we can't actually get information to go certain ways or block hormones and things, and the body has to work harder to get those things kind of done?
You know, patients come into the office, and when they say, I don't feel good, I'm tired, and we look at them and say, are you muscularly tired? Are you sleeping? Do you find that after you do certain things for a short period of time, all of a sudden, even though that the motivation, the enthusiasm was there, all of a sudden you burn out? You know, do you find that if you do certain things physically, you're much more tired than you would if you just sat down and you worked your brain? Conversely, it's true too. Do you sit and you study and study and study, and kind of wipes you out for days? there are different pathways that are associated with that.
Right.
How do we begin to go through that process? We know that we have environmental influences. We know that the nervous system is involved. We know that the biochemistry is involved. We know that the processing of how you run your brain is involved.
Right.
You know, so where do we go?
Well, I think you have to break it down piece by piece. I think you look at the nutritional aspect. There's sometimes we need to do some testing to see what's going on with the blood aspect. And again, what I was talking about is somebody being anemic on the chemical side, or are we sleeping well? Are we doing the things? Are we getting the sleep we're supposed to? Emotionally, we haven't even talked about dropped that down yet on the adrenal aspect. But the adrenal aspect is that, you know, we have this thing that kind of keeps us going, but are we adrenally exhausted? And we have nothing left in our tank anymore after that particular point. So we mentally, and we can affect that both chemically, structurally, and emotionally on that the adrenal part.
Well, you know, adrenal fatigue is something that we've talked about repetitively on this program. It's a situation where that fight-flight system, that go-chase-the-tiger type of thing, or go-fight-the-tiger, or go-run away from the tiger, it's what keeps us alive. These two little ductless glands that we've talked about so often that sit on top of the kidneys are our survival mechanism, but they're accountable for keeping us positioned in a way that we have the ability to transport oxygen, to metabolize blood sugar, to be able to repair the system, to be allow muscles to work much more effectively. So let's take that apart just a little bit, and we'll get into some of the other aspects of the adrenal pattern as well. There, what causes that end point of, I just can't do it anymore, I'm exhausted? That's often an adrenal fatigue pattern.
Right.
Or you start out and you have everything ready to go, and then after 10, 15 minutes, you want to sit down.
Right. Well, I think one of the things is we're supposed to be, you know, I think the blueprint of the body is supposed to be, okay, well, we have this adrenal fight or flight, and it lasts for 30 seconds to a minute. We get one go. Welcome to D.C. You've got, sometimes we're 24/7 on that. And so what happens, it's a primary reflex. It means the body wants to survive. And if it needs to survive, it's going to start up using up resources to try to make sure that keeps on going at the cost of other parts of the body. So if I'm going to run away from something, it's not a time that I would necessarily want to work on digestion. My circulation is going to do my arms and legs to run away, because if I don't survive, who cares if I eat something? It affects the sex hormones. You're not going to have relationships with somebody if you're going to be threatened. You're going to be running away first, and then relationships come out secondary. So what happens in that kind of element is if you keep on putting the gas pedal to the floor, you're going to start using up gas really, really quickly, and it's breaking things down. So with adrenals, you can start breaking down literally. It actually becomes a catabolic hormone sometimes. It starts breaking your proteins down, because that's faster to do than breaking actually even fat down.
Okay, you touched on something that I want to pursue a little bit, and it's called neuroassociative conditioning or neuroassociative responses.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to follow through a little bit with what you were saying. You talk about the sex hormones, and you know, there are many. There are testosterone and estrogens and progesterones and so forth, and they have, you know, they are in that pool of hormones that we call perhormones, that are the things that are we're attracted to, our opposites.
Right.
Okay? And it's a survival mechanism. You know, you have to reproduce in this planet. But here's a situation. Here's a man, here's a woman, and their hormones are in good shape, right? They work fine. But now they've gone into a combative situation, or they're always stressing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And even though that they should be able to function, they get together and there's a triggering mechanism that they can't. There's a push away, or, you know, ladies, forgive me, I'm tired tonight, you know, or whatever. Or the same thing with the guy, he rolls over and feigns sleeping. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, I think to some extent, yes. I think one of the things is trying to understand the again. Well, I'm not sure what you're getting at, Tom. I'm gonna hold myself off on that.
You just don't want to get in trouble, Scott.
That's right. I'm running up to a wall here.
No, you just don't want to get in trouble. I can hear it all over the place. No, look, here's what I'm talking about. You know, I said it because that's a common situation, but a neuroassociative response is something that is suppressive in the body.
Right.
It can be a work situation. It can be anger with somebody else. It can be something that you saw one time a long time ago. Now, we're going to the emotional side of suppression.
Okay, right.
And I'm going to that place that you and I were talking about earlier with an epigenetic stimulation or suppression of things that take place.
Right.
So these are the things that it's like, you know, you push the button and the same old thing comes up, but we can change the reaction of that button to something negative.
So you don't get conditioned
positive.
Conditioned response. So I got to figure out what you were trying to get to.
I figured you'd figure it out, you know.
Yeah, so conditioned responses, yeah, because what happens is you go into the same old mechanism. The body gets into a reaction of like, uh-oh, here we go again, and has a different reaction than you expect to, kind of like a Pavlov's dog type reaction. You ring a bell. If you remember Pavlov's dog, it was the dog with the food. You showed them the food, the dog would salivate, and then they ring a bell and had the dog association with the ring of the bell, the food, and all of a sudden it would happen.
See, there you go. I knew you could figure it out.
There you go.
Okay.
So, yeah, so there's a lot of those type of things, and I think if we go through those patterns and how to do that, we've talked about, you just mentioned something about epigenetics. Are we predisposed to certain types of things? And can we change those? Can we turn those genes on and off? We can actually change those by behavioral elements. When we talk about the aspect of something like epigenetics, we're talking about the environment and our genes and then the interaction between those two. And if I wanted to be able to change that relationship between my wife and stuff like that, I've got to change something in how I think about or how I approach. And that environmental-wise, at least on the emotional side, you can change that.
888-630-9624. That's 888-630-9625, not 4-5, 9625. Give us a call. This Wednesday evening, Dr. Scott Lamp will be your host, your presenter at the Result Center for Healing, 7 p.m. It's beautiful. It's still light outside, so join us. All you have to do is call the office. It's 703-698-7117. And I promise I won't be there to ask him hard questions about neuroassociative responses. No, I'll be there as well. But Dr. Scott, let's talk about, you know, the different problems associated with this fatigue situation. We know that we can be injured, and that's something called a central nervous system suppression. We know that we can be stressed, and I've just touched upon it a little bit. But we also know there's many biochemical facets to it as well. How does that happen?
I think one of the main things, even when we overexercise sometimes too, or some of the creation of what's something called free radical formation that happens, called oxidative stress. And basically what happens is oxidative stress is, it actually can break down our bodies. We need to have antioxidants to kind of fight that off. What's very, very important that plays a big part, even when we're talking about liver function, where liver is there to kind of go through a couple different phases to kind of break down toxins for us. But if there's a lot of free radical formation around, it's very hard for the liver to do those kind of things.
You know, Vince Lombardi, you know, God rest him, said years ago, and I used to admire this man because he was the personification, the top of what athletics was all about.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to his athletes, he says, fatigue makes cowards of us all. And it does. When you don't have the capacity to step up, it's often because you don't have the ability to recover, and that has to do with diet, that has to do with putting up with injury and pain, that has to do with the way your brain works, that has to do with exposures environmentally and chemically.
Adrenals and your genetics to some extent. So we can throw that in there.
Well, go ahead. You got 50 seconds before we have to break.
Well, one of the things, too, is we're going to talk about with the genetic aspects, how that affects the role in regards to fatigue elements. Are we sometimes predisposed? But again, with it's similar to like the triangle, the structure, chemistry, emotion. Part of the triangle is your genetics. So what we're trying to look at is also your interaction with that. You can sometimes turn genes on, turn genes off. And the next time we come through after the break, I think we're going to talk a little bit about some examples of that.
That sounds like we're right on target where we're supposed to be. Seriously, this is something, this fatigue pattern, this neural fatigue, then muscular fatigue and oxidative stress and all these things that make us not want to do the things that we don't think that we can. We're going to make that a little clearer. We'll be right back after some important message. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rosell Live. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rosell here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rosell Live. We're in studio. It's beautiful outside, and that's where I'm going when I'm done so I can get all that sunshine and that vitamin D3 that Dr. Scott wants to talk about in a little bit. So just in case you thought I forgot, even though that I segued away from it, nevertheless.
Yep.
But we're talking about fatigue patterns and what they're all about and where they come from. You know, sometimes you have a mental fatigue, sometimes you have physical fatigue, sometimes you have fatigue from, you don't know where it's coming from, but there's really reasons for that. And when you start looking at them, not just treating the symptom with drugs and social, well, you know, what do you expect type of thing? You're going to have to put up with this forever. But Scott, let's talk about, you know, that epigenetic stimulation, and then we'll get into a little vitamin D3 and, you know, some other things that aren't working for people, but what can work a little bit better.
Okay. I think, again, we're talking about the aspect, the environment relationship to our genes and how some certain things are brought out by exposing ourselves to certain things. And, you know, we've talked about sometimes where we kind of mentioned sometimes like B12 and folic acid, some of those things that help make some of the breakdown of things of the inflammatory processes and actually give us energy. B12 is involved in things like making red blood cells and white blood cells and platelets. So if I'm not making white red blood cells, I'm not creating the oxygen that I need to get. Or if I'm not making white blood cells, I'm not getting the autoimmune white blood cells to help fight diseases. To give an example, I think we had back in when we did our Ageless Health talk, we were talking about, you gave me that lovely topic on psychoneuroimmunology.
Because I like you so much.
Yeah, I know. And it was like a lovely one to talk about. But from there, I've got an article was written or program was done by a person by Dr. Herbert Benson, who was out of Harvard University. He had an interesting study, and he was comparing 16 people who regularly evoked the relaxation response for an average of 9 years to 19 people that didn't use these techniques. And the experiment found there's roughly about 2,000 genes that differed in expression between the groups. The genes that triggered inflammation and cell death were turned off in the group that regularly practiced relaxation exercises, kind of think of cognitive exercises, things like yoga and tai chi. And this deactivated doesn't seem to be permanent. You had to continuously do it to have the effect. So the daily practice of relaxation techniques is necessary to sustain the benefits. What was interesting is when you went back to the controls who were not doing it, when he taught the techniques to these people, 1,500 of the genes changed their expression within 8 weeks.
I like that.
So, you know, some of those things was calming the body, calming down. We can actually turn things on or turn things off depending on the state. Now, this is a state of good well-being and turning good genes on, but also you can turn bad genes on also.
We can do it the same way. A lot of the expressions that people have, the reactive patterns that they have, and where you didn't see them before, and you know, you and I talked about it, these are dormant genes, sometimes called junk genes. So we get in and we simulate these things, and all of a sudden that expression that was someplace else, never to be seen until that moment in time, suddenly shows its ugly head. And it's a response pattern that is evoked by, as you call, the epigenetic pattern or environmental stimulation, whether it's emotional stimulation, biochemical, or structural. Let's go to the phones just for a second. Debbie, how can I help you?
Hi. Yes, I was wondering if you could talk about electrolyte imbalances, specifically if someone is having a problem. Is there anything on the market that they could drink that would put them back in balance?
Well, actually, there's some real simple things. Electrolytes, you know, play a very, very specific role in how your body maintains itself. And even in the topic we're talking about with fatigue patterns is very significant. If electrolytes are off, you're going to have muscle fatigue and feel tired. You're not going to want to do the things. Your heart's not going to work the way it's supposed to. Your blood pressure is going to be affected. And it's very, very critical into this epigenetic pattern that Dr. Scott was talking about a minute ago, because they can have problems. And we talk about electrolytes. We're talking about things like sodium and potassium and chlorides and potassium and magnesium and calcium, bicarbonates and so forth. All these things act to buffer. They act to produce certain things. And we don't need them in heavy amounts, but we need them in balance. We need the availability of them on an ongoing basis. So there's lots of things that you can do. But remember, all of this starts with diet. So one of the things that we can do, and I'm going to tell you something that you're going to look and say, oh my God, I thought I'm supposed to stay away from that, is called salt, but sea salt. Why sea salt? Simply because of the fact it has all the minerals that you need, all the electrolytes available. Glucose also is necessary in this transport system. So if you're outside working around, particularly in the summer, sweating and so forth, get yourself a liter of water, and actually a liter bottle, and put about 4 to 6 ounces of organic apple juice in there, and then about an eighth of a teaspoon, one-eighth measured teaspoon of sea salt in there, and fill the rest of it up with water and sip on that as you're working around. if you're chronically even tired, Dr. Scott, if you take a little sea salt and sprinkle it on your food, not regular table salt, not sodium chloride, but sea salt bound with all the electrolytes, that will help as well. There's some other things that are out there. If you go to health food stores and ask them, you know, for electrolyte balancers, they're there. But this is so simple. Stay away from Gatorade because the first three ingredients is sugar, sugar, and sugar. It's not the same formula that was made years ago. Deb, I hope that helps you. Those are the things that are there. We could spend a whole program on it. You're talking to Dr. Tom Rozelle, Dr. Scott Lamp. We'll be right back.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. My guest in studio, Dr. Scott Lamp. We're talking about fatigue. And by the time I'm done with this program today, my brain is going to be so fatigued. And it's all your fault, Scott.
Yep, that's what I do.
It is. I mean, you know, it's not bad enough that I got to be in the office with you every day. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Let's talk about your fatigue and what's happening to you. And, you know, unfortunately, so many of you are put on all types of different medications and drugs to handle this type of thing. And the bottom line, it doesn't work. There's so many side events, so many psychotropic effects and that make you somebody who you're not. But, you know, whether you've been diagnosed with chronic fatigue syndrome, myalgic encephalitis, which is an old term that was around for a long, long time, you know, those are serious conditions. And what I want you to know, and the reason I brought those up, there is no known drug to fix them. None.
Right.
It doesn't fix them.
Right.
It just makes it temporarily more tolerable until the psychogenic aspects, the side effects of the drug, take you out in a different way, in my opinion.
Right.
So that's what we're dealing with. And you have to really understand that there are recognizable and identifiable ways of handling a fatigue pattern. And this Wednesday evening, Dr. Scott Lamp is going to take you through it step by step. And we'd love to have you there. We'd love to have you as our guest. Remember, our in-house continuing education programs are a gift to the community. There's absolutely no charge for them, but we do require a reservation. And how you make that is you call 703-698-7117. That's 703-698-7117. Tell the staff of the Results Center for Healing that you would like to be part of this Wednesday evening's presentation. 7 o'clock, it starts sharp, and it's a beautiful night, so you can't say it's too dark out. Join us and find out what you can do to help yourself and find out if there's a way to really find out what the triggering mechanism is. And I promise you, with my dear colleague here, you will find out. He is on the cutting edge of this stuff, really understands it. Dr. Scott, let's go through this chronic fatigue pattern. I want to segue just a little bit into two different areas. We've talked a little bit about the environmental stimulation. I know you're going to get into that more this on the program itself on Wednesday evening. But let's talk a little bit about straight up what happens with neurological irritation. You know, people put up with pain a lot.
Right.
They put up with impairment a lot,
mm-hmm.
you know, where their gait patterns, their structural patterns and so forth are not working the way they were designed. And everybody begins to think this is normal. Mm-hmm. You know, this is the way I'm supposed to be. I'm, you know, as time goes on, I get in from my 20s, I get into my 30s, there's some changes. And then I get mm-hmm. in from my 30s, I get in my 40s. You know, the other day I had a patient that came in. He was 42 years old and the guy wasn't in bad shape, but he was complaining that, you know, he was sore and he was stiff and he was tired and he didn't have the push that he used to have and so forth. And you know what he said to me? He
what?
Said, well, I guess I'm getting older. I looked at him and I said, you guess you're getting older. And my brain went, in my 40s, I was probably in the best shape of my life. I was competing in Greco-Roman and freestyle wrestling. I was crazy, man. And I was, you know, and plus full practice and lecturing and so forth. How is it that somebody in their 40s, Dr. Scott, can come up with that type of statement and said, you know, I don't have it anymore. I don't have the energy anymore. What's happened? What's brought them to that place?
Well, the central nervous system, too. If you create an irritation to the nervous system, think about what happens when you irritate a nerve in relationship to muscles. They usually get tight. They bind down. When they do, they put pressure down on the joint, degrades the joint if it's done there for a long period of time, but it takes energy to create that muscle contraction. We've heard in the past, or you've heard maybe in talk with other people, there's something called ATP, which is actually a molecule that's made, that Tom was talking, you were talking about the Krebs cycle before, that's made to drive energy. And it takes energy to maintain that contraction. And this is not a good thing. This is something like I'm fighting my body against maybe poor posture or fighting against an injury, like you were talking, like a gait. When it does, it takes energy to maintain that bad position, and it uses up your resources. And so what happens is then to maintain that, it's interesting a lot of times, too, when you open somebody up, even on the chiropractic perspective, you open somebody up and you said, you know, it's amazing how much energy I got after a visit or two where I feel like I've got things I can move and loose. The body doesn't have to concentrate on putting so much effort into that particular area of the body.
You know, one of the things I want to ask you about, Dr. Scott, is simply this. For those muscles to work,
right,
for our brains to work, for our heart to work, and so forth, we have these little energy stores called mitochondria.
Right.
And they're associated with many different things. And one of the things that we see in patients who are totally depleted is that these mitochondria aren't working.
Right.
Why don't they work? What happens? How do they end up so exhausted and so depleted that our whole system's failing?
Oxidative stress, one of the things that stresses the body down. And then what happens is that things start to break down and free radical formation forms with that. Plus also on top of that, we're not feeding, you were talking about the person that called in before, electrolytes. We're not getting the cofactors to help run things. So I mean, that's a big factor in trying to make mitochondria work correctly. So these are the batteries to our cells, but if we're not feeding the batteries and the batteries are starting to die off, we don't do well.
It just goes down the tubes.
Right.
You know, there's a guy by the name of Podell, P-O-D-E-L-L. He's a medical physician out in New Jersey. And, you know, he talks about chronic fatigue patterns and how they're associated with a lot of different pathways, from inflammatory reactions to immune patterns to central nervous system factors and so forth. And, you know, unfortunately, and he's a medical physician, and he shows how so much you know, the different medications that are being used, they're used for, you know, Epstein-Barr virus, you know, the Valtrex, and, you know, these are not things that are used to treat chronic fatigue. They don't work as he says. But they do it just because they associated chronic fatigue with some other problem. And they say, well, if it may help for that, maybe it'll help for this. It's a testing ground. It's practicing. Patients are guinea pigs, and when there's a way of really looking through the whole process and really making things work better. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. That's how you reach us here. And we're talking about chronic fatigue patterns and what you can do to make a difference. Dr. Scott, let's go back a little bit and let's talk about the transport of oxygen, because you talked about oxidative stress.
Right.
So what are the things that we're lacking as a society that we're seeing that oxidative patterns aren't being supportive the way they're supposed to?
Okay, well, first off, I mean, we've got to be able to get oxygen to the tissues correctly. So, I mean, B12 plays a big part with that. Iron plays a big part with it. B vitamins play a big part of it. And I think we're changing our landscape. We have GMO foods. We have things that are processed where a lot of the stuff is thrown out. The vitamins are junk vitamins or synthetic vitamins. They're not really whole food vitamins. So we lose a lot of those cofactors to kind of push some of these things through. Another thing that we haven't really touched on, something called methylation, big term. But basically what it is, it's something that all cells do. And basically it's a way of the body how it detoxes the system. It also has to make DNA and RNA repair. It makes proteins, makes, you know, myelin, which is the covering around nerves and things. And that's in many different pathways. You open up one pathway and you can clog another one if you're not, you know, feeding the body correctly. And it has to do with the liver and stuff of that nature. So it's a very, very important aspect. When we think about methylation, we talk about the aspect of, you know, again, hormones being made and neurotransmitters being made and all those. And everything is in a delicate balance. You need good balanced food, good balance in exercise, good balance in regards to some of the stresses that you put on regards to the emotional aspect. Can we get our lymphatics moving so we're not clogged up? Some of those all play a part in the aspect of making this thing flow.
You know, I want to go back to the beginning of the program a little bit and talk about that fight-flight phenomena with the adrenal system not working the way it's supposed to. The adrenal glands, as we said, are these small little ductless glands sitting on top of the kidneys. And, you know, they are responsible for many different pathways. And there's a disease process. It's not a disease. It's a syndrome that is associated with that. and it's called POTS, right? P-O-T-S.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's very rare, and it's more female than male by a significant margin. But it has to do with postural hypotension, meaning that if you move too rapidly, too quickly, up or down or turn your head, you're going to get dizzy. Yeah. If you could be suddenly, you know, your blood pressure drops out and you feel like you want to faint. You go into tachycardia, your heartbeat starts moving very, very rapidly. But all of these things are symptoms of that fight-flight phenomena that can be associated with stress patterns emotionally, mm-hmm. stress patterns biochemically, or stress patterns injury that the body has put up with for a long period of time. And even going towards, in my experience with patients who I've seen that have POTS syndrome, that epigenetic stimulation that all of a sudden the straw breaks the camel's back and the whole thing folds down.
Right. And I think some of those things can be, I think, if you work and know what the systems are. I mean, there is some testing that's being done that you can actually see what genes are working and what genes are not working. And you're looking at certain aspects that you need to feed the right way. If you know that pathway, there's a lot of research being done on this. I think it all started in 2003, a lot of the new research on the genes and how they work and how we're deciphering how they work. And if you take a look at a particular problem or a problem one, there's huge amounts of studies on each little, what they call snippet, that's part of the gene frequency that might be off in somebody, that might be mutated. But you got to take a look at what aspect, what pathway is off for that particular person. It might be simply a simple form of a certain type of, like, for example, B12. There's like four different types. Are they taking the right type to help them move something, go in another direction? Is a pathway completely blocked? And if that's true, then you have to probably give them some type of supplementation that's actually farther downstream that pathway. So when you're thinking about how the body works genetically, you're looking at how the enzymes really work and how the enzymes, which are catalysts for everything to go, to move from one product or one piece of substrate into another product downstream. But if it's not there or if it's lacking its elements, everything comes slow and sluggish.
Dr. Scott, how do you talk to a patient? And I'm positioning it this way. Patient comes in and you know that they have a fatigue pattern that's significant.
Right.
You know that based on your examination that they're not transporting oxygen. The Krebs cycle is impaired, meaning oxygen transport and exchange of CO2. So they're not producing the energy packs. But you look at their nails, you look at their skin and so forth, and you say, you're anemic.
Right.
And they say, no, I'm not anemic. My doctor told me I wasn't anemic. So here's where you get into a situation where, you know, the patient, they come into you because they're tired, they're fatigued, they have no muscular endurance. It's pretty straightforward. They have all the classic clinical signs of anemia.
Right.
But they've been told that, you know, their hemoglobin is marginal, so they're really in pretty good shape, that their ferritin level is normal in their blood, because that's the only thing that the doc ran. How do you approach that?
Well,
sometimes, how do you tell the patient they're anemic?
And there's sometimes their B12 is actually high, and they're like, I don't need it, but they do need it, but they're taking the wrong type of it. So, I mean, one of the things that happens, I think there's also a difference between sometimes we're measuring things, what are functional. We're not necessarily all about numbers in regards to, like, functional versus the medical reference range. There's a functional reference range. But you got to take a look at sometimes that could be something that's just missing in the system of the body, that they're actually not getting in their system. There's something that's missing. And I think you take a look at how much processed foods. We need good B vitamins in the system to run things. There's a lot of B6, B12 issues, B2, B1 issues that are out there. There's things in regards to zinc that's missing, magnesium that's missing, and some of those things. And there's factors that we can look at in some type of specialized blood work where we can actually pick some of these things up.
But not at heavy dosages.
Not heavy dosages.
Balance and
it's
available.
Balance. Right. Well, what's the difference between a synthetic aspect of vitamin C if you get 5,000 milligrams versus a whole foods vitamin C?
Well, you know, as I do, it's the bioflavonoids. It has to have a broad spectrum absorption pattern. If it's not present, it's not getting in.
Yeah, it has P factors, F factors, it has copper and all those kind of things. So you need a lot less of that than the 5,000 milligrams of vitamin C that's just ascorbic acid, which can be made in the laboratory very cheaply. And I remember, what was it back into the Limeys when they used to travel from Britain and used to go out and they used to give them lemons. And lemons would actually cure scurvy. But if we were to do that with ascorbic acid, we would not. No, because we're missing the trace minerals that help balance that out.
That's right. You have, you know, when you somebody goes eat a lemon or they, or I like lemon, everybody goes, oh, how can you do that? Well, I'll eat the whole thing.
Yeah.
But I'm strange.
But you're sour too.
I know. Even the oranges, it's the white inside the skin.
Right.
That's the important piece. That's a bioflavonoid. That's the one that you need for transportation. Same thing with the potato. It's the potato skin that right. you need, not the starch that the potato's inside of that. And that's where we miss the problems. That's where we're seeing, you know, that imbalance take place.
You mean I can't just have orange juice?
No, nor should you. I mean, so, you know, people, I said, do you eat fruit? No, I only have orange juice. Well, how much of it? Don't. 12 ounces or so in the morning. At that point, you got more fructose in your body than is tolerable, and it shouldn't be more than about 4 to 6 ounces.
And you chucked out all the vitamin C part of it, too.
It's all gone. It's not. Yep. It's not there. 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625. Give us a call. Love to talk to you. We're talking about chronic fatigue patterns, and if you'd like to attend Dr. Scott Lamp's presentation on fatigue this Wednesday evening, the 20th, at the Rizal Center for Healing in Fairfax. We're at the Red Cross Building up on the third floor. Join us. All you got to do is call 703-698-7117. That's 703-698-7117. Tell the staff that you'd like to be there. Reservation is required. And trust me, you're going to find out things that you're going to look at yourself. I didn't know that. I didn't know that I could fix that. I didn't know that that was a problem situation. Dr. Scott. You know, yep. Dr. George Goodhart, who is the founder of Applied Kinesiology, was the first chiropractor who was appointed to the U.S. medical team. Mm-hmm. And that was when the Winter Olympics was in Lake Placid, New York. Mm-hmm. And he was watching this skier, this ski jumper, go down the slope and how they tuck in position. You know, they bounce a little bit in that tuck position.
Yeah.
And they're firing their thigh muscles, their quadriceps, right? Because when they get to the end of that slope, they spring off.
Right.
Well, this one skier could never make it to the end of the jump, and he would fall. And they brought him in, they examined him, and they found that he was strong like bull. But George thought, he said, okay, he's repetitively firing these muscles, and guess what transports it? Iron. Mm-hmm. And it's oxygen transport.
Right.
So, and they, you know, in questioning, this guy was always in a fatigue pattern. This is what you're talking about. We're talking about transportation, actually stuff getting right. into the receptor site.
And you can be fooled by the person. Like you look at somebody like that, says, nah, no way can they have any problems with that. But there's ways to test it. I mean, again, some of these guys can fool you.
You have to ask the right neurochemical and biological question of the body, and if you do that, you're going to get the right answers, and you're actually able to do something. It's called fix it where you couldn't before. We're coming up to a break. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizal Live, Dr. Scott Lamp in studio, talking about fatigue problems, which will be the topic presented this Wednesday evening. Love to have you as our guest. Call 703-698-7117. We'll be right back.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rizal here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizal Live in studio, as we are every Sunday at 12 noon. You know what? We do this program for you because we want to give you as much information as possible. We want to educate you. We want to stimulate. You know, I've said many times, don't believe anybody, including me. Go do your homework. This is what this program is about. It's to trigger you to get online, ask a lot of people, see if it makes sense, see what the deal is, get it done. This Wednesday evening, Dr. Scott Lamp will be the presenter, your host at the Rizal Center for Healing. He's going to be talking about fatigue patterns, chronic fatigue, you know, those things that don't go away. And he's going to look at it multidimensionally from central nervous system, from biochemistry, from an epigenetic pattern. Come find out what you can do about it. All you got to do is call 703-698-7117. That's 703-698-7117. Jonathan, how can I help you?
Oh, hi. My wife is about 6 or 7 months pregnant, and she's developing these sort of almost looks like leopard spots on her skin, and our health care provider told us that she was anemic and needed to get iron. She tried taking that iron supplement, but it actually would make her vomit every time she took it, and she tried eating a lot of spinach, but that, you know, hasn't raised the level, so we're just trying to figure out where can we get the iron that we need to get.
There's a lot of ways of doing that if that's the situation. Did they run the blood test to make sure that that's what the deal is?
Yes. Well, they ran a blood test on the previous pregnancy, and that's what it was. And now it seems to be happening again. But
all right,
so didn't have the spots on the previous pregnancy.
So what you? So if you want to do it with food, you go to the health food store. Go to Mom's, and Mom's Organic, and see if you can get some organic free range liver. And it has to be, because otherwise it's too toxic. Liver stores iron. They'll have a significant amount of it and start giving her some of that on a day-to-day basis. Iron transport is handled with very low dosages of vitamin C. And you need one that contains a bioflavonoid. You take it at the same time. Digestive enzymes. Her problem is going to be upper intestinal tract. Is she taking any medications during the pregnancy at all?
I don't believe so. No.
Okay, good. So that's where it's coming from. If it is an iron problem, and, you know, not just skin changes generally, there's a lot of reasons for skin changes. There's a mask. There's a pregnancy mask that has to do with certain things. There's this thing called linea nigra, or the black line that goes in the abdominal area from the navel to the center of the pubic bone, things of that nature. But in this particular situation, if, in fact, it's due to iron, then you need to start with food. You go to meats and lean meats and free range and organic, and but liver will do it. Those are the types of things that will help. But low levels of electrolytes also will help transport it out of her her diet. If you're going to use iron, there's some homeopathic forms of iron, and go to the health food store again. They can help you out. I'm not going to give you brand names because obviously they don't support the program. I'm going to tell you that they exist. So go there, and homeopathic levels will help, particularly if you've already tried regular iron. It makes her sick. This is another way of getting it done. I think that probably, you know, would be the best support mechanism. So those two things would be, you know, very doable. Having said that, if we can help you in any way, just give us a call. You should be fine just following through with those two directions. Dr. Scott.
Yep.
So this lady is probably very tired. She's probably very fatigued.
Right. And it's not getting the iron to the aspect. The question is iron, is it the right type of iron? And the other aspect of it is that is she absorbing the iron? A lot of times with pregnancy, too, you find a lot of people that sometimes when they take iron, some iron supplements, they get very constipated with.
Yeah, and that's the problem. Now you got to really load up the vitamin C, and you got to make sure it's transporting through. Unfortunately, we're coming to the end of the program. Way too short, like always. You know, we come to the place where we have more calls than we have time, and we'd love to do more of that. But this Wednesday evening at the Roselle Center for Healing, Dr. Scott Lamp, make sure you're there. Love you all. See you next week. Bye.